For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 31st day of January. Folks, we're only 2 hours away. 2 hours away from February. Wow, this year is going pretty fast. Anyhow, tonight, we have a lot to get to. We really got to get to it quick. And so our producer is the very capable Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And way out yonder, we have the notorious and the legendary Pastor Joe Larson.
I didn't know making enemies would be so much fun. Glad to be here.
All righty. And our special guest tonight is Ray Lautenschlager. And he is with Ohio's Father's Rights Advocate. Are you there, Ray?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Pastor Ernie.
All right, we're going to get right into it because we have so much. So as we go through the Bible study, Ray, if you have a question or a comment, just jump right in and ask. Joe?
Not a problem.
All righty. Remember the title of the message, Joe.
The title, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then and now.
And of course, we looked at the Church of Sardis was like the apostate church of today, like the World and National Council of Churches. We see how there's a few still in the church that have not apostatized, but the vast majority have apostatized in there. And then, of course, tonight, we're going to do the Church of Philadelphia, which is the true church, the faithful church. And they're the ones that hold to the Word of God, literally, and they're like the fundamentalist, independent, hardcore, gospel-believing churches. And then the Church of Laodicea is like the prosperity church, the mega country club church out there today. Their riches are all in material things. And so let's pick it up in verse 7. Let's take it a verse at a time, Joe, verses 7 through 9. Go ahead and read verse 7.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth.
That has two applications, Joe. It has an application of, 2,800 years ago. If we go over to Isaiah chapter, in Isaiah chapter 22, and we read verses 20 through 22, here's what we read. And it shall come to pass that in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with a girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hands, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shut, none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Now, the application it had over 2,800 years ago, Joe, was that the Lord here is saying to have the key of David, referring to the key of the house of David. He says, I will lay upon the shoulder, so shall he open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. So in Isaiah's context, this promise was made to Eliakim. Now, he was a servant of King Hezekiah, and the key was the key to the national treasury, and figuratively, the control of the government. Eliakim was a type of the Messiah, a type of Christ here. And here he asserts the effect. He controls the government. And here, again, Christ here asserts the effect that he controls the government, the economy, actually the whole world, and everything that happens therein. But the other application for this verse here, Joe, when he says this, well, let me first go to back. Well, what he's saying is this, that he has given this door, he's opened a door, and that door is that the preaching and the spreading of the gospel, the Great Commission, the evangelizing. So he has opened this door, and no man can close it. And here, when he closes this door, no man, read verse 8.
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
So he's saying that he has given to us this here, and this message applies for us today, what he's talking about. Now, this is the church
about evangelism, right?
Right. He's talking about evangelism. He's talking about reaching the people with the gospel. Now, what group of people do you know, Joe, that preaches the gospel and witnesses more than any other, and they do it with the knowledge of the Word of God?
I would say that'd be the unregistered Baptist Church.
I would say so, too, the fundamentalist unregistered Baptist Church. But that's not saying that others don't. There's others out
right.
there that do, too.
You said who does it the most, and
yeah.
The people I've met, it's the unregistered Baptists.
They're because they're the ones that seem to be the most aggressive, and they hold to the Word of God without any compromise. Now, here, when he says this, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, when he says you have a little strength, is that term here, do you think, a term of offense, or is it a term that of endearment, really?
I think it's a term of endearment.
It is, because that little...
We are all weak, the human, we're in the flesh, and if we have that little strength, it's because of the Spirit within us that gives us the strength.
So that little is compared to his strength, isn't it?
Yeah, compared to him, it's very little, but...
Well,
out in our world, it's a pretty strong strength.
Right. So, you're absolutely right. And so now he goes on to say, and behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan say, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now, who are those of the synagogue of Satan?
Oh, that would be like, I don't know, George Soros and the Klaus Schwabs, and they claim to be Jews, but they act like communists.
Well, the Apostle Paul referred to those as the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. And Jesus referred in John chapter 8, he referred to them, though they be the seed of Abraham, their father is the devil.
All right, okay. I was thinking in today's terms, but you're right. He was, yeah, their father is the devil.
Well, that applies in today's terms.
Yes,
there's a noise coming over here. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm hearing
it. Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay.
It's not coming from my little office because it's an enclosed space and there is nothing around to make noise.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, you got to hold still. Sit right still. Don't move because it comes out and it goes coast to coast. And if you keep moving, we'll send style over to your house. Right. Okay.
Apparently it was me.
All right. You got caught. And so,
spank me.
So he says here, the synagogue of Satan. He's talking about exactly the George Soros's, the Hillary Clintons, the John Kerry's, those that say they are Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. And then he says, "I will make them." Now this is a verse that confuses a number of people, but it means just exactly what it says. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So he's not saying that they're going to worship, okay, worship us. They're saying they're going to worship him before. Right. This is the Lord Jesus that he's going to put them on their knees and they're going to be worshiping him, but they're going to do it in our presence. We'll be present when they do this. And that's the point that he's making there. You know what? Let's go ahead and finish this, Joe, because we have a couple minutes. Let's go to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, when he's talking about here the word of his patience, okay, in other words, we've held to it. He's talking about those that have held to his word, have not, like so many out there today, they twist, they spin, and they pervert it, don't they?
Right. We haven't added to it one jot or tittle, and we have not taken away one jot or tittle from it.
So he says, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. What do you think the hour of temptation is?
That is the great, I'll send the word.
The tribulation?
Tribulation. I couldn't, it was just stuck there. The great tribulation.
Another name for that is?
Will be raptured home and will not suffer through the tribulation.
Right, so another name of that is the wrath of God. Basically,
rapture, yeah.
He tells you in several places from the wrath to come, huh? And
from
so he says,
to come.
So he's saying the church will not go through the tribulation. Now, what is the purpose of the tribulation? It has two purposes.
And it will punish the earth and get rid of a lot of the people that God has condemned to hell. And it's supposed to prepare the Jews.
It's the purification.
For the second coming, the purification of Israel for the coming.
The Hey, Ray, hold still. You're making noise again. It's the purification period of the nation of Israel. And again, it's judgment on the heathen nations. Now, would there be any purpose at all for the church to have to go through the tribulation period?
No, there's none, because we don't fit any of the categories.
So has the church received Messiah? Has the
yes,
church
we so, have received Messiah. In fact, those of us that are born again have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so we have the indwelling of the Messiah within us.
Okay, so it would be totally without any purpose. In fact, it would be counter-purpose for the church to
exactly,
go through there.
Exactly, because if you look at the end of Matthew, what does it say in Scripture? And Jesus said, he's talking to what? All the faithful. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Why? We have the indwelling of the Spirit.
Yep. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Behold that Behold, hold of that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, we place up crowns in heaven with works, with works of faith, out of faith, and good works. Now, how do you lose crowns?
That's a good question. I don't know that I've ever really thought about that.
You lose your crowns. Remember, you place up crowns of gold, silver, and precious stones,
well,
not of wood, hay.
On this earth, you'll lose.
So if you allow yourself to be influenced by the world, if you allow yourself to be influenced by the world, and you don't, you know, you're not obedient to the Lord, you become disobedient, then you lose those crowns. So when you get to the Bema Seat judgment, you'll lose your crown. You don't lose your salvation.
Right, you lose the crowns because, well, they really never got to heaven, did they, in the first place?
No. Yeah, if you're saved, once you're saved, okay, you don't lose your salvation. At the Bema Seat judgment, you're going to be judged on your crowns you will receive by doing faithful works. And you place that up. In fact, if you go over to 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 3, he talks about that.
But if you're doing them in love and obedience, they get passed on to heaven. They're going to be there no matter what. God's not going to take them away if you've earned them the right way.
Well, no, you lose crowns. Again, if you go in the wrong direction, if you disobey, if you backslide.
I see what you're saying. All right.
Okay, so here, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go and no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon them my new name. Now, I just want to say this here. He says, now who is it that's going to overcome? Who will overcome?
Christ.
Okay. So
and we, those of us that are faithful, will be overcomers.
All right, and so here, and those that have overcome will already have, they're already being, I swallowed something here. Okay, those that are born again have already overcome. They're already recognized, their salvation here is already recognized in heaven.
Right, made
and,
sure.
Yeah, and so it's short, and again, it's recognized by all the citizens in heaven.
Because as we have a spiritual baptism, we become a new creature, a new creation. So if we become a new creature, we will get a what? New name, right?
Right. Well, yeah, he's talking about that new name. The Lord Jesus will write upon us his new name, but we will be given a white stone, and all of us will have a new name written upon that white stone also.
Stone, right.
Okay, there you go. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do some rapid, some very rapid lightning rounds. And I want to start with, here, as you know, a few months back, one of our contributors, a longtime contributor, one we call Double X, Phil Brooks, was found with he was found in his closet in a burnout apartment with a bullet hole in his head. He was one of our contributors. Well, as you know, Mike Gill, he was a part of the Trump administration, and Mike is the guy that had the Pandora files. And he passed those on. Well, Mike was gunned down today in Washington, D.C. It looked like they claim it was a carjacking. And I guess they did take the car, but he was gunned down. Now, let me tell you what's significant about this. Just a few weeks back, I was talking to him, and here's what he told me. Because he was supposed to come on, he said, "I'm hiding right now. I'm hiding. I'm not going to come on right now." He said, "I just had talked to some of the field agents, the FBI, some of the ones that had not gone corrupted, some of the white hats had told him, look, we know that they're going to try to get you. They're going to, so watch your back. All we can do is warn you. And you know that within the FBI now today, you have the insurgents, you have the rogue agents. Yeah, the ones in charge, you know. That agency that used to fight communism now have become part of communism. But anyhow, so he had told
Mike
me.
He's on the critical list, right? He's still alive, but critical. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah, he's in. Mike Gill, we know that.
We need to pray for him.
Yeah, yeah, he's in the critical list, and so we should do that. In fact, let's do it right now. Let's pray for him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold Mike up. And Lord, we would ask that you would provide him with a protection, Lord God, surround him around about, because we know that the deep state wants to eliminate him. They know that what he knows could do them a lot of damage and a lot of harm. And so, Father God, we just would ask that you would surround him with your angels, that you would touch him, that you would be a comforter to him at this time, Lord, and you would heal him and bless him in every area, Lord, that he might receive a blessing. This thing we ask in Jesus' name. And
amen.
So,
amen.
Mike, you know,
amen.
You know that there were the pro-life activists that were convicted of felonies in Tennessee. That goes back 3 years ago. These were heroes of the faith. Chester Gallagher, Heather Idone, O'Donnell, Calvin, Zestro, Cal Zestro, he stayed here with me. He's got about 7-8 kids. Him and his whole family, they stayed here with us at our house. And Carolyn Davis, all from the Michigan, and Coleman Boyd, and Dennis Green of Virginia, and Paul Vaughn of Centerville, Tennessee. Now, here the in October of 2022, Obama Biden's Gestapo arrested these people. They arrested all of them, 11 pro-life activists. And here now they face 11 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. So these people, you know, these are corrupt. These people were praying outside. All they were doing is praying. Remember, there used to be a day, the days when we had the First Amendment.
Yeah, and they were singing too. They did the horrible crime of not just praying, but they sang also.
And I, believe me, I can associate with these folks because I've been arrested several times for just preaching outside those bloody abortion mills. I've been arrested. I exposed corrupt cops who were taking money, who were on the payroll, and I put their names and badge numbers out over the radio. And, you know, we stood up and we came against the corruption. And I'm going to ask the people, folks out there, listen to me. And I'm only talking to you people that really believe the Word of God. Now, you prissy preachers out there, you prissy that say, oh, that Pastor Uni, he's a bad, bad man. You prissy preachers, go and pull your pink panties out and put them on, because this isn't for you. I'm talking about people that are really born-again, Bible-believing people that believe the Word of God. I'm looking for the people like David, like Jeremiah, like Daniel, like those men of faith, those the heroes of the faith, people that got some, that have some intestinal fortitude out there. We're going to join with me in prayer, because I'm going to pray against that corrupt court, against Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, and all of these corrupt cops that raided these people. They come charging into their houses, sticking guns in their faces, in the faces of their children. I have pictures here of these dirty, cowardly cops. These dirty, dirty, cowardly cops come sneaking into a people's houses and families. These are pro-life Christians, and they deserve to have the same thing happen to them. They really do. I wish I could run into these guys. And, you know, that happened some years ago in Pittsburgh. when you had that thing in Pittsburgh where they had arrested those Christian pro-life ladies and they molested them. They sexually molested them out there. And I went to Pittsburgh, and as the cops were lined up, I walked out and I stood in front of each one of them to look them in the eye. And they turned their heads. They couldn't look you in the eye because of that. And so it's called The Nightmare in Pittsburgh. You remember, Joe? And so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the folks out there listening to pray with me, to agree with me in this prayer, because I'm going to ask the good Lord to either bring these bloody people to repentance, lest they should burn in hell forever. You know, because God's word in the Bible is very, very clear. He says, what? Touch not his anointed. And, or remove them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, all of those people I mentioned, from Joe Biden to Merrick Garland to Chris Wray, to all of those cowardly cops, like the ones at January 7th that shot little Miss Babbitt in the face, that murdered those people. Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, and I'm praying that the people around the country are praying with me, that you bring those bloody people, every one of them, to repentance. Bring Joe Biden, and I don't think he will, but Lord, only you know. Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, on their face, screaming in repentance, begging for repentance, Lord. Or Lord, I'm asking you to remove them. They're wicked people, and they've done a lot of harm. And along with all of those cowardly FBI agents, they knew better. They knew that they should have had the integrity, the honor, and the decency, but they had none. No, they went running into a house, sticking gun barrels in the faces of children. These are cowardly cops. There's no honor there. There's no integrity there. They should be ashamed to look in the mirror. And so I'm asking you, Lord God, and I'm asking the people to pray with me, to bring those bloody people to repentance, or, Lord, that you would just remove them. And this I'm asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so with that, I've got one. Well, with that, Joe, you had a quick one, and then we're going to get into with Ray. What was your quick article, very quickly?
Okay, real quick. Remember James O'Keefe? He's now running O'Keefe Media Group. He's got a new video. He caught Charlie Krager, top cybersecurity official for the Biden White House, on camera. And Krager said, oh, they can't say it publicly, but the White House wants to replace Kamala Harris. Biden is, well, slowing down, and well, I'm just telling you what I've heard. They're really concerned. The staff thinks they need to get rid of him or her, but no one in history has ever said, like, we're not going to renominate the president for a second term. And, oh, Harris, well, she's hemorrhaging black staff. She can't keep black staff. They quit on her en masse, but she will be the nominee because, well, you can't remove the first black lady to be VP from the blank, blank presidential ticket. And people would be like, F, using the frog word, she's a woman, multiracial, and O'Keefe got it all on tape.
Well, there's something else going on right now very quickly. I want to say that is Obama now has started a fundraising campaign for Michael or Michelle. And so he's actually out there now raising stumping to raise money for her. And you know, so this is a very interesting thing. Of course, you don't know what any of this thing could be to.
Right. We talked about it a long time ago. She was one of the possibilities to step in.
Yeah, so that could be just a distraction, too. All right, with that, and we have Michael Meshick with us now. Are you there too, Mike?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, very good. So we're going to play a quick clip. Now, this is Senator Josh Hawley. He forces Mark Zuckerberg to stand up and apologize to the families of the victims impacted by the child sexual exploitation on Meta. Now, I'll bet there's something that these families that have had this situation that they mostly all have in common and we'll talk about that. Go ahead and play the clip.
Mr. Zuckerberg, let me start with you. Did I hear you say in your opening statement that there's no link between mental health and social media use?
Senator, what I said is I think it's important to look at the science. I know it's people widely talk about this as if that is something that's already been proven, and I think that the bulk of the scientific evidence does not support that.
Well, really, let me just remind you of some of the science from your own company. Instagram studied the effect of your platform on teenagers. Let me just read you some quotes from the Wall Street Journal's report on this. Company researchers found that Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage of teenagers, most notably teenage girls. Here's a quote from your own study. Quote, we make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls. Here's another quote. Teens blamed Instagram, this is your study, for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression. This reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups. That's your study.
Senator, we try to understand the feedback and how people feel about the services. We can improve.
Wait a minute. Your own study says that you make life worse for 1 in 3 teenage girls. You increase anxiety and depression. That's what it says. And you're here testifying to us in public that there's no link. You've been doing this for years. For years, you've been coming in public and testifying under oath that there's absolutely no link. Your product is wonderful. The science is nascent. Full speed ahead. While internally, you know full well your product is a disaster for teenagers.
Senator,
and yet you keep right on doing what you're doing. Right?
That's not true. That's not true.
Let me show you some other facts I know that you're familiar with. Wait a minute. That's not a question. Those are facts, Mr. Zuckerberg. That's not a question.
Those aren't facts.
Let me show you some more facts. Here's some information from a whistleblower who came before the Senate, testified under oath in public. He worked for you. It's a senior executive. Here's what he showed he found when he studied your products. So, for example, this is girls between the ages of 13 and 15 years old. 37% of them reported that they had been exposed to nudity on the platform unwanted in the last 7 days. 24% said that they had experienced unwanted sexual advances. They'd been propositioned in the last 7 days. 17% said they had encountered self-harm content pushed at them in the last 7 days. Now, I know you're familiar with these stats because he sent you an email where he lined it all out. I mean, we've got a copy of it right here. My question is, who did you fire for this? Who got fired because of that?
Senator, we study all of this because it's important and we want to improve our services.
Well, you just told me a second ago you studied it, but that there was no linkage. Who did you fire?
I said you mischaracterized.
37% of teenage girls between 13 and 15 were exposed to unwanted nudity in a week on Instagram. You knew about it. Who did you fire?
Senator, this is why we're building all
these tools. Who did you fire?
Senator, I don't think that's...
Who did you fire?
I'm not going to answer that.
Because you didn't fire anybody, right? You didn't take any significant action.
It's appropriate to talk about... It's
not appropriate.
HR decisions.
Do you know who's sitting behind you? You've got families from across the nation whose children are either severely harmed or gone, and you don't think it's appropriate to talk about steps that you took? The fact that you didn't fire a single person? Let me ask you this. Have you compensated any of the victims?
Sorry?
Have you compensated any of the victims? These girls, have you compensated them?
I don't believe so.
Why not? Don't you think they deserve some compensation for what your platform has done? Help
Senator,
with counseling services, help with dealing with the issues that your service has caused?
Our job is to make sure that we build tools to help keep people safe.
Are you going to compensate them?
Senator, our job and what we take seriously is making sure that we build industry-leading tools to find harmful
content, make money.
Take it off the services,
to make money,
and to build tools that empower parents.
So you didn't take any action. You didn't
that's
take any
true,
action.
Senator.
You didn't fire anybody. You haven't
that's
compensated a single
not,
victim. Let me ask
said.
You this. Let me ask you this. There's families of victims here today. Have you apologized to the victims?
Would
you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures. Would you like to apologize for what you've done to these good people?
I'm sorry for everything that you've done. It's terrible. No one should have to go through the things that your families have suffered. And this is why we invested so much and are going to continue doing industry-leading efforts to
to make sure that no one has to go through the types of things that your families have had to suffer.
You know, why, Mr. Zuckerberg, why should your company not be sued for this? Why is it that you can claim, you hide behind a liability shield, you can't be held accountable? Shouldn't you be held accountable personally? Will you take personal responsibility?
Senator, I think I've already answered this. I mean, this is, these
well,
are serious
issues.
Well, try
us again. Will you take
Already, we're back. And we played that because I, being in the prison ministry for as many years as I was in there, 50 years, and 45 years actively visiting prisons on a regular basis. I haven't been doing that much in the last 5 years. But one of the things that the inmates, and I ministered to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of inmates, two of the things that they had in common, the vast majority of them, almost all of them, came from single-parent families, and mothers. And it was always the mothers and without any fathers in the home. The other thing is that when they committed their crimes, they were either on alcohol or drugs or both. And here, my guess would be that all of these girls that got caught up on this thing was because they didn't have, or many of them didn't have a father in the house who was keeping an eye and restricting them, what you know, on that internet. So Ray, what do you say?
Well, I have to agree with you because I personally see this far too much. And talking to various fathers, judges, police officers, they've all said that I was talking to some police officers at a night out locally, and they said one of the biggest calls, the most common calls they get are single mothers who can't control their children. They're looking for help. But then I spoke at an event, it's been a number of years ago, and Gene Capers, who was the oldest judge, living judge in the state of Ohio at that time, happened to be at the event. And I spoke, and I kept hearing this voice as I spoke about fatherhood, and I kept hearing amen, 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 because I was bringing up statistics and talking about the harm that we've done. And I got done speaking, and I'm walking back to where I was sitting, and I see this 100-plus-year-old finger looking at me, giving me the come here, drawing her finger towards herself. And I went over and I introduced myself formally to her. And we sat there and talked. And she said, the vast majority of boys that appeared in her court did not have a father with them. They had a single mother with them. So we can see that that's, you know, credible people who are all saying the same thing. We keep removing the father and then blaming the father for not being there.
We don't have a level playing field, do we?
No, we don't. And one of the biggest problems with that is the discretion that these courts have. They will take whoever's story they believe or their own personal biases. And that's how they award custody. You don't start the way Ohio law is started, goes now, they go down through a set of factors. Well, the first factor is the ability of the parents to get along. Now, if you want to see something and you want to talk to fathers, and one of the most common things I see is that's the number one factor that the courts use to award, to not award equal custody between the two parents. It is also the number one thing that I've seen attorneys tell mothers to do to win full custody and avoid having to put up with the person.
So are you telling me that look, and you see this quite often, they know, and you'll hear this often, you don't want a divorce. If we have a divorce, you're going to come out, sure, I'll take you to the cleaners. And this is what the wife is saying, because this is what they've been told by their lawyers. I'll get the house. I'll get custody of the children. They always give it custody of the children to the mother. Now, even in that case, because it's not an even playing field at all, if the mother, you know, whichever parent is the best parent, you know, see, they don't use common sense. Common sense is not allowed in the courts in Ohio. Common sense is forbidden.
Oh, no.
Whichever parent is the most qualified to take care, whichever parent is the best parent of the children should get the children, okay? But that's not the way it goes. And so often, once the children are usually 12 years older or more, they'll normally choose to go with the father, okay?
Ohio law is written.
Yeah.
So they'll have a voice. They can't make that choice themselves.
That was removed
from Ohio law when Ohio went to the quote-unquote shared parenting model.
Tell me about that.
Well, there's Roz McAllister, who is another part of Ohio Family Rights, put it best. Everybody has got shared parenting. You may only have a minute's time out of the year, and that is your share. Now, I'm coming to a different place where I got equal legal and physical custody of my son when it was totally unheard of. In fact, I was raising my son. My son was 4 years old at the time. I would go to work, come home, my ex would go to school or out with her girlfriends, which I later found out wasn't her girlfriends, it was her boyfriend. I went in, she filed for divorce. I went in to talk to my an attorney that was, you know, suggested to me, and I told him I wanted full custody, and he looked me right square in the face
across his desk, and he said, "You won't get it. They do not award custody to fathers in Summit County." My reply back to him was, I'll use Dr. Strom's term, horse chestnuts. And we countered and counterclaimed her, came down to the first hearing, and we ended up negotiating a settlement. Now, my attorney, he did something that most, he had a lot of faith in me and my ability to negotiate. And he actually let me negotiate one-on-one with her attorney. And by the time it was done, her attorney was, she was backed into a corner in the room that we were in. Her attorney was backed up against the wall. And I was up on the table, which is your negotiating, you know, posture. And my attorney was slumped back in his chair, just kind of smiling. He finally pulled me outside and said, "Look, you've got everything you need, everything you asked for. Stop right there." And we did. Now, 30 days after the divorce was final, she attempted to commit suicide. It was an attention getter. Swallowed a a large bottle of aspirin. They had to pump her stomach. They put her on a 3-day hold. Within 30 days, she filed for sole custody when she had just agreed to equal custody. I had to go through a year-long custody battle just to stay the same as I was. They finally withdrew at the last stand. She flunked the psychological exam. I came through it with flying colors. With the psychologist, I never got to read that report. But my attorney, you know, that I used at that time, said the comments that the psychologist made was, "I was the most creative person he'd ever run into and the most honest person he'd ever run into." That's a couple of pretty good, you know, compliments on somebody's character when you have that. But too often, no. I've got a father that I've been helping for the last, well, we're coming up on 7 years. No, longer than that, down in Claremont County. The mother was, the son is autistic. At 11 years old, he was nonverbal. And she would take a bath with this 11-year-old autistic child in the bathroom, showing her goods to the boy.
Well, Joe Biden did that with his daughter.
Yeah. She admitted to it. And the court still allowed her to see the child.
Yeah, I know of a case like that. Okay. Here now, normally when you have these divorces, the father gets normally has to pay child support.
Correct.
But in cases where, because normally the father's income is higher than the mother's, but in cases where the mother, who her income is higher than the father, and that's today, you know, it's not that rare. It's almost common today where the women are making as much or more than their husbands. But when that happens, in most cases, the father still has to pay child support instead of the mother. It's just not a level playing field, is it?
No, it's I talk to these fathers a lot, and they'll consider it a victory if they get, you know, every other week with their child. But with their attorneys, unfortunately, forget about child support. And they don't argue for the deviation for the extra time. You have to do that. Now, Ohio changed their child support laws back in 2018. And they added in there that there was an automatic 10% deviation for any parent that had over 90 days, 90 overnights per year. That automatically made these mothers file for to come up with arguments that these fathers shouldn't even have that much. They were perfectly fine while they were still in the household, but all of a sudden now they're not. Makes no sense.
Well, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about where this started in a major way. And we go back to that fellow called LBJ, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And so, and there was a purpose. And I had just listened here to one of these women who headed up the feminist organizations, and she was saying their goals, when they asked, what is your goal? Her goal is to destroy the family, to destroy the American family. To break up the family. That was the goal of the feminism out there. And they've been working pretty hard, and they've had the full support of NBC, ABC, and CBS, and all the others to do it, haven't they?
In some ways, yes, they have. But we can...
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to jump in. The thing with the cultural Marxists, that's the first thing they wanted to do, is break up the family, because they had to destroy Western civilization. And they introduced sex to the children as a starting point to break up the American family, get rid of God, family, and then they can form their own country.
And, you know, one of the things, being in the prison ministry all of these years, one of the very first things that happens when a man goes to jail, not just a man, or even when the woman goes to jail, the socialist service pops up and they start saying, you need to get a divorce. You need to get a divorce. So we're going to be coming up to a break here, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. So don't go away. There's a whole lot more to come. Be back right after this.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.